Thank you. That is such a sweet introduction. Didn't expect that. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you. It's a really special day, and I know that for many of us, Mother's Day is a happy day. And then for some of us, it's not such a happy day. Various reasons, maybe you lost your mom, or maybe you lost your child. But whatever it is, you know, God's with us, and he's celebrating with us. And we just hold on to him, right? Amen. Even in the good times and in the bad times, we hold on to him. So I just wanted to first say happy Mom's Day. You know, I have great mothers. My mom was just, and still is, such a great example for me. And they ran out to Valley View, so she'll hear me say this there. But just an example of a wife and of a mom and how to love no matter what. And now as a grandma, man, if I'm half the grandma she is, that's my goal. And then as a mother-in-law, my new position, and I like to say a mother-in-love, but just to see her example and try to walk in it. And then God just redeemed my life so much, and I'll share a little bit more, but he gave me Joyce as a mom-in-law, mom-in-love. And could not have prayed for better in love parents. So I'm just so grateful for what God's done in my life, and want to thank you and say happy Mother's Day to my moms. You know, I was thinking back on being a mom, and now it's been almost 25 years because Dominic just turned 24. And you know, you start being a mother the minute you get pregnant, right? And so almost 25 years now I've been a mom, so it's over half of my life I've been a mom. So I'm like, wow, this is pretty much a huge part of my identity. And I'm sure a lot of you ladies can say the same. It becomes who we are, right? Well, I've been an unwed mom. Some of you know my story, and I'm just going to rush through it really quick because some of you don't. And I just want you to get to know me, and I love it when I get a chance to get to know you. But at 19 years old, I became an unwed mother. And it was a very difficult time in our life, in my mom and dad's life, and in my life. And it was so hard that I didn't tell anybody about it until I was 7 months pregnant. And so for two straight months, there was like this intense, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And, you know, they were pastors. And so it was devastating to my parents and devastating to me. But our church, oh my gosh, our church has this legacy of love that just came in and surrounded me. And some of you in here were at my baby shower and just gave me love and just protected me and loved my son and just took me in and cared for me. And that's the legacy of this church. It's love. It's so awesome and so great that I got to experience that firsthand. But what do you do when you get pregnant? You get married, right? And that's what happened. We got married, and after a couple years, you know, it was hard, and we ended up getting divorced. And so I was a divorced mom. So I can relate again, right? Relate again to being a divorced mom. And at first, it hurts, and you're mad, and you're angry, and you're carrying groceries in, and all you can do is just be mad because you feel like somebody walked away from you, right? But you know what? God is so good. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer. So redemption was coming. But for the next 11 years, I was a single mom. And being a single mom is not easy. Although, I probably had it really good compared to most others because I had such a supportive family. I had my sisters begging for my kids. Please bring Dominic over. Please bring Dion over. We want your kids. We want your kids. So I can't completely and totally experience, you know, say that I know what it feels like to be a single mom all alone, but it's not easy. It's definitely, definitely not easy. So if you know a single mom today, could you honor them extra special this week? Could you maybe take them some flowers? Or maybe just say, you know what, I just want to watch your kids for a minute so you can go get your nails done. Or can you just tell them how great they're doing? Because sometimes they feel alone. And we can do more, can't we? We can do more. We can support them. We can love them. And we all know some single moms. So do something nice for them. And then I became this stressed out mom. Now, I had two boys, and they were busy. They were like the epitome of boys. If you explained what a boy was like, that was Dominic and Dion. Dominic especially, he would run 100 miles an hour at 2 years old, and I would literally have to chase him. And so I became this stressed out mom. Anybody in here ever been a stressed out mom? I remember when Becca and Troy got married in Hawaii, you know, we figured, oh, we're going to go sit on the beach and we're going to relax in the sand. And then we get to Waikiki and there's traffic everywhere and there's people everywhere. And my kids were running this way. You know, one was going this way and one was going this way. And I remember screaming and yelling and being stressed out. And I'm like, what am I going to do? They're climbing trees. They're flipping. They're chasing birds, trying to kill them. I'm like, help me. Right? So I've been a stressed out mom. And honestly, I might be quiet here, but I wasn't quiet at home, was I, Dom? I was a loud yelling mom. Would you stop it? Especially in the fighting years. You know, when they start fighting, it's horrible, and all you can do is yell louder. So I was a stressed out mom. I was an adventurous mom. When you have boys, in order to get close to them, you have to play with them, right? Pick up a ball, go to the park, play hide and seek, you know, wrestle with them on the floor. That's the kind of mom that boys need, is that ones that will go and just play with them. Well, I tried to do that, and sometimes it wasn't taken very well with Dion especially, because if you know Dion, if Dion is hungry or tired, you walk the other way. Just don't mess with him. So I'll be having a conversation with his future wife. But with Dion, it was funny. We lived in Florida for a few years, and it was sunny out, and it was Saturday, and I was off. So I'm like, wake up, you guys. It's 10 o'clock. We're going to go rollerblading. We're going to go play basketball. And Dion did not want to get up. So I forced them out of bed that day, remember? And I had my rollerblades on, and Dominic was on his skateboard. And I think Dion had a skateboard, too. And we were going to play basketball at the park. And the moment I picked up that stinking ball, I fell in my rollerblades. And I knew when I hit the ground, this was not good. Something was broken. And I looked at Dion and Dominic, and I said, you guys might want to go get Nana and Papa. Because if you know me, I faint when I get hurt. I don't get hurt a lot, and I don't faint a lot. But Adrian will tell you, if I get hurt and I tell you it's serious, I'm probably going to fall over. But you know, I looked at Dion, I said, you need to probably go get Nana and Papa. And he goes, well, if I had a phone, I could call them. And that was during the time where 10-year-olds were beginning to think they needed phones, right? And so 1 second after that, boom, I hit the pavement. And there was panic, and the boys ran and got Nana and Papa, and they came to the rescue. But I've been that, tried to be that adventurous mom. I've also been an absent mom. You know, when we had to move back here to Ohio, I had to get a different job. So I was a flight attendant for a while. But for 3 months, Troy and Becca stepped in, my sister April stepped in, and my boys were here with my family while I was off in Houston and Newark. And so being an absent mom is hard. And sometimes we find ourselves in our lives for some reason, whatever reason, that we're away from our kids, and then we try to carry that guilt. Right? And then it wears at you and you have regret. But you know what? God's good. God's good. He takes care of all of that. And he took care of them as well. I've been a stepmom now. My gosh. And moved into Olivia's life. And she was just a precious joy even before me and Adrian were married. And I just pray that I've done a good job because she's a beautiful girl and want to continue to just be the best stepmom in the world to her and encourage her dreams. But it's not easy to be a blended family, and a lot of us in here are blended families, but it's important that we just rely on God to walk us through that. I've been an infertile mom. I know that doesn't really make sense, but a lot of you in here may be able to relate to that. When Adrian and I were married, I wanted to have another baby, but it didn't happen. And a year went by, and it didn't happen. And then 5 years went by, and it didn't happen. And then I got pregnant, and I had a miscarriage. And it was such a painful time. It was a hurtful time. And there's ladies in here that I know are going through the same thing. And you know what? You're not forgotten. You're not hidden. And you're not alone. We're praying for you, and we're standing alongside of you. And God is a miracle-working God. I've been a foster mom. Oh, my gosh, did we dive deep into that? And it is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I really want to do it again, but we had two foster girls at the first, in the beginning, and then we accepted their two 4-year-old brothers. And so we had four kids under 4 years old for about 2 years, give or take, and they were the biggest challenge, yet the best, the most precious blessings in our lives. Me and Adrian drew closer sometimes, and then we drew apart sometimes during it all. But what a roller coaster, but what an honor to be able to pour our lives into precious children that will forever have us in their memories. Isn't that amazing? And they're beautifully adopted across the country, so we're just blessing them. And then this kind of mom, nobody prepared me for. I'm an empty nest mom. I'm like, what in the world? Nobody told me about this. Nobody told me how hard this was, right? But you know what? As much as you want your kids to come back, you don't want them to come back, right? Not because I don't want them in my home, but they have so many things to accomplish, so many things to do. They need to get their wings and fly and do everything God's called them to do. But I would have liked some preparation a little bit for that, and it happens fast. And then now, like I said before, I'm a mom in love. And it's new territory for me, but God blessed me with Emily. And sometimes it takes my breath away and how God designed our two families together. Not just Emily, but her family and how much we cherish them. And then Dominic mentioned that I'm a spiritual mom. And I feel a little bit more comfortable with that, especially because the babies, like the 2.5-year-olds that I watched in daycare, and as they're growing up, now they're getting married, like Caitlin did yesterday, right, Crystal? It's like, okay, we're spiritual moms to this generation that have grown up and that they need those mothers and fathers to just say, you're doing a great job. You're doing a wonderful job. You're going the right way. God is pleased with you. He's happy with you. How do you need help? How can I pray for you? And I've had that in so many of you. So I'm going to pass that on to the next generation. You know, but this morning we're going to talk about the ultimate mom. Can you guess who the ultimate mom is? Mary, right? Not me. Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to talk about Mary. So how do you get this job? How do you get signed up and qualified to carry Jesus into the world? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the assignment on her life? So powerful. What does this job description look like? You know, we all want to be the ones that carry God into the world, don't we? We all want to be, sign me up, I want to do it, right? But we are all carriers of God. We are all carriers of God, each one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're past the childbearing age or you're not even there yet and you're just a child in here sitting, listening to me. We're all called and on assignment to carry God into our world. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." You know, we are all chosen. We are filled with Holy Spirit, and we are sealed. That word sealed means you belong to him. That word sealed means you are stamped with his authority. That word sealed actually means signature. He signed you, right? Well, let me make a declaration. You are on the sign-up sheet to carry God. Did you know that? Now, we've left Mother's Day, guys, right? The topic of Mother's Day is here, but it's lingering, so you apply. You are assigned to carry God into our world. You can't pass this clipboard up. You can't hope nobody sees you signed up because your name's already there. You're on the sign-up sheet to carry God. 1 Corinthians 4:6-7, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure," where? In jars of clay. We carry around the light of God in our earthly bodies. In our earthly bodies, we carry around the light of God. Each one of us. So we need to be okay with that. Simply means he calls us out, he fills us with himself, and he sends us to a lost and broken world. Can you say it with me? I am carrying God. You ready? I am carrying God. Wow. each one of us in here. So let's take a look at the qualities and the characteristics, since we know we have the job, right? What is it going to take? What is it going to take for us to do this job? What attributes do we need? So let's go back to the story when Mary got her assignment. We usually only read it during Christmas, but we're going to read it this morning on Mother's Day. It's in Luke 1. 26 is where we're going to start. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second because it's a little bit understated, because I think what happens is our culture has fed us this cute little pictures of angels with fluffy wings and like just flying around with arrows shooting love at everybody. But this angel was probably about 10 to 15 feet tall, muscular, a warrior angel, right? And he just shows up to a 14-year-old girl, Olivia's age, 14-year-old girl that says, "Mary." She probably was like, who are you? Greatly troubled is an understatement, right? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel asked, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the mother of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." And right there, we're just going to stop and pray for all the women that want babies that don't have babies. You want to do that? Because no word from God will ever fail. So let's just do that. Thank you, Father, that you are the giver of life. And you meet every need that we have, God, in that you want to fulfill the desires of our heart. So I just pray for abundance. I just pray for expansion in families. God, I just speak life over wombs this morning, God. And everyone in here, and even connected to us, would have a baby as soon as possible, right? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then in verse 38, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. What a story. What a story of an assignment given to a 14-year-old girl. You know, some of us can't relate to being 14 and seeing an angel. But we can think back on our salvation story. We can think back on that moment we said yes to Jesus. And that's what Mary's doing. She said yes to Jesus. Think back when you got saved. Some of us, it might have been just a few months ago. Some of us, it might have been years and years ago. But that was the moment God came in and wrecked our world, right? In John 7:38, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." That moment that you were saved, God deposited rivers of living water in you. In you. This is not something that you earn. This was the free gift of salvation. He deposited rivers of living water in us, and those rivers are what has to come out. You know, evangelism isn't that hard. Missional living, being a missionary, it's not that hard, is it? It's not that complex. You know, carrying Jesus to a lost and broken world could happen in 3 days. We could win this world in 3 days. Think about it. If there's 7 billion people on the planet and there's 2 billion Christians, right? If we go on about our Father's business, right? Take moments of our days to recognize the setups all around us. We are personally responsible for the evangelization of planet Earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We've got to be comfortable with that. We've got to be okay with that. We've got to declare that to ourselves. We've got to say that out loud. You ready? We are personally responsible for the evangelization of planet Earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Can I make a shocking announcement? Hold on to your seat. Are you ready? Pastor Kayton's not responsible. Pastor Troy, it's not his job. It's not Pastor Cynthia's job. We can't hand it off. We're on the sign-up sheet. Remember? Our name's there. God put it there. We're on the sign-up sheet. We are called to carry God into this broken world. You know, when somebody asks you what you do, you might be at lunch today with moms, and you might run into somebody that doesn't know, and sometimes they'll ask me, what do you do, Mary? So what do you do? I'm a mom. You know, and I know maybe a mom's in here and they stay at home mostly, and it's kind of embarrassing, or maybe it's like, well, they're not going to think I do anything or of value. Hello. We know, moms, it's harder to stay home than it is to go to work, right? But today, if someone asks you that, say, well, I'm personally responsible for the evangelization of the entire planet before the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what I do, right? That is your job assignment. That is what we do as carriers of God. So what does it take to pull this off? How did an ordinary girl pull this off? She was willing. It was good that she was ordinary because it gives us all encouragement, right? But she was willing. Are we willing? The angel showed up to an ordinary girl and gave her a divine assignment. But guess what? Before Mary went, right, before she delivered Jesus, what happened? She grew. Women look a lot different at 3 months than they do at 10 months, right? They do, because there's growth that happens. There's stretching that happens. There's expansion that happens, although we better not say that out loud, because you can't tell a pregnant woman that she looks huge. Don't do that. Don't do that, right? But Mary had to grow where she needed to go. And when a woman conceives, she grows. When we receive salvation, we have to grow, right? We grow into the assignment that God's given us. Sometimes that looks like pride that's confronted by the Holy Spirit. Man, that's not comfortable. That's not comfortable to have weak areas exposed. And a lot of times, if we're going through something difficult in our life, a lot of times God's going, let me expose that so we can deal with it together. Quite possibly. It's so important to lay quietly before God and say, listen, tell me what I'm doing. Let me hear your voice, because I have to go. So I have to know what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong, God. You know, the scripture verse in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Does anybody know that song? It's a wonderful song to always have in your spirit, always have in your heart. Create in me a clean heart. Don't let me live for 20 and 30 and 40 more years with this stuff. You know, I just don't want to carry around this stuff. Let me grow so that I can go where you've called me to go. It's hard to hear the difficult things about ourselves and trust God. But we have to be willing to work on these things, because our neighbors are waiting. Our families are waiting, right? We've got to grow into this potential of carrying God. He's not looking for talent. He's not looking for riches. He's not looking for people with special abilities or beauty. He's looking for available. He's looking for available. Are you available for God to use you? He wants to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. Has anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Powerful evangelist, revivalist from the early 1900s. But he was an ordinary plumber. He was an ordinary plumber, not a special preacher, not a special healer. although he ended up preaching some of the biggest revivals, ended up healing people. People were even raised from the dead with his ministry. But when he was married, he didn't even know how to read. His wife taught him how to read the Bible. God wants to use ordinary people like Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know that he has direct connection with the heritage of this house? Dr. Summerall was personally mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. And then our pastor, was mentored by Dr. Summerall. An ordinary person can change the world. An ordinary person can change the world. But you know what? I think Smith Wigglesworth needed to learn how to read first before he could preach, right? Right? So sometimes this growth is very natural, and sometimes this growth is very spiritual. But regardless, we have to be willing to grow because we have a huge assignment. So throughout the Bible, God shows us that he even uses disqualified people. And I would have to raise my hand for the disqualified section because I am so disqualified for anything that I'm doing right now. I certainly did not earn anything, right? God is so good, and he's such a redemptive God. I messed up as a teenager. I was that spoiled little pastor's kid. I'm embarrassed still when I meet people that knew me in high school. I'm like, oh, gosh. Oh, I have to take a deep breath. Sometimes I even apologize. I'm sorry. But you know what? God's so good. He turns us around, and he uses what we messed up in for his glory. And now my heart is for those single moms. Now my heart is for those teenagers who need love, right? Now my heart is for those. And God has equipped me, and he has equipped you to go back and minister to the very thing that disqualified you. You are not disqualified anymore. You are redeemed, and you are bought with a price. It was paid for. Amen? You know, Mary had favor. If you look back in Luke 1, Mary had favor. I think it says it 2 or 3 times. Mary, you are favored. God is looking for ordinary people to pour his favor on. And when we hear that word, we think, favor. Wow, that's so amazing. I want favor, right? I want favor. Money come down from heaven, and great jobs, and beautiful houses, and lovely careers, not even jobs, careers, right? You think wonderful family, and God said, yeah, that's all good. I'm going to favor you. Because favor is not for us. It's for his purpose. It's for his purpose, right? Favor is not for our opportunity, but it's for God's purpose. You know, I shared a couple months ago, maybe it was a month ago, about Adrian walking into this possible new position in his workplace. And it's not a super, super deal if you just look in the natural. I mean, he's going overseas. He's going to work on a small team, a small medical team with a special assignment. Yeah, but when you look in the spiritual realm, God has favored our life. And initially, we were thinking, oh my gosh, it's a huge raise. Wow, God, you're so good. You know, he's going to get so many perks and fly first class, and this is awesome. And, you know, we're just so excited about it. And then all of a sudden, Holy Spirit stopped me one day, and he said, do you really think that Adrian has this job because I wanted to favor you, bless you? Do you really think that's all I have planned here? Because Adrian happens to be, and I can't even tell you all of it because it's semi-confidential, Adrian happens to be one of 7 people that will continually be in front of and serve one of the most influential people on the planet. And it's crazy. It's crazy. It's like, God, you picked him because he's carrying you. That's why you picked him. Because at the right moment, at the right time, Jesus, right? Rivers of living water is going to flow from him. So we have to realize that the favor God gives us is not for us. And I'm just going to declare right now that America, favor is not for us, right? We have an assignment on this earth, and it is for God's purpose. You In Luke 12:47, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. You know, that's not just a cliche little saying like the golden rule, right? That we've heard grandma say. That's in the Bible. Wow, what are we going to do with that? And if we were to look closely, Jesus said it. It's actually in the Bible and Jesus said it. So we've got to take that seriously. We've been given much. You know, Pastor was sharing a couple weeks ago how much we've been given. That most of the world isn't even on the ladder. And most of us are on the top. Right? We've been given much. I can just hear it when Mary, you know, got her assignment and she saw the angel. And if you put her in this day, you know, with maybe a girl like Olivia, and she's on her phone, maybe sitting by the fountain at Crocker Park, and this huge angel comes up to her, and she's like, oh, am I going to be on a reality show? I'm about to get married. Is this yes for the dress? Are you going to pay for my wedding? You know, you're saying I'm favored, right? Right? And I think that's so many times what we do. Wait a minute. God, you're blessing me, right? We're blessed. And yes, we are blessed. But Mary's world was about to get turned upside down, right? Upside down. She was about to get inconvenienced in ways she never thought possible. It actually was impossible. Inconvenience and interruption that defied natural laws, right? Favor says, I'm about to be interrupted and inconvenienced, and I'm about to do it with your life so that you can do what I've called you to do. If you're going to carry the Messiah, you're going to have to say yes to God's favor. And it will be terribly inconvenient. Can you imagine the conversation she had with Joseph? Oh my gosh. Puts a pit in your stomach right away, right? Joseph, so last night, this angel showed up, and I'm pregnant. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Or when she went to tell her friends, you know, at the well. So guys, guess what happened to me? Oh my gosh, you're never going to believe this. So this angel came to me, and now I'm pregnant. Her friends are probably like, oh, so that's what you call Joseph now, angel? Right? The truth of it meant for Mary to say yes meant she could be ostracized from her family, left by Joseph, and literally stoned to death for saying yes to Jesus. And I don't know what it's going to cost us. Maybe no to a promotion. Maybe forgetting about building an addition on the house. I don't know. Maybe canceling vacation and going on a missions trip or just giving the money to missions. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take, but I know God's favor and his assignment is not comfortable, and it will interrupt us, and it'll inconvenience us, and it won't feel good most of the time. You know, I was online today, and I don't even know why I got there. I think it's because I was praying for our locations, but I was looking for churches on real estate. I love real estate. It's just like a hobby of mine. But there's 67 churches for sale in Ohio. It's a lot, isn't it? 67 church buildings for sale. Why are our churches shrinking? Could it be? Why are our churches closing? Could it be because we, as God's people, are not signing up to be interrupted, are not signing up to be inconvenienced anymore, and things are just shrinking because of it? It's a hard question. But we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to carry God into the world? Is the goal of my Christianity my safety and my comfortability? Because Jesus didn't die on the cross. He didn't come to earth and die on the cross to make me comfortable, did he? To make me safe. He didn't. You know, life is risky, and we have to be okay with risk. You know, relationships are risky, right? Nobody getting married said, oh, I think I'm going to get divorced in 3 years. It's risky. Travel is risky. You never know when that plane's going down. Right? We depend on God. We have faith, but we take risk. I think back about some of the risk we've taken even for fun. You know, Adrian had this skateboarding incident a couple years ago. And I told him, I warned him a little bit. But Dominic and Dion have been skateboarders since they were like 4 or 5, 6 years old. So they're really good at it. And they make it look really easy. Like really easy. So Adrian decides to be a great dad and go to the skateboarding park about 4 years ago now. And I don't know what compelled him to take this risk. But he got on a skateboard and he dropped in to a quarter pipe. Does anybody know what a quarter pipe is? There's a platform, there's a ramp, and there's another platform. He stood on the platform and dropped in. He didn't make it all the way down. He snapped about 3 bones? 4 bones, yeah. 4 bones, had to have surgery, almost didn't get to finish college, but he toughed it out. But life is risky, right? Even fun. We enter into risk for fun. You know, me with my rollerblading accidents, I know it's very old-fashioned, a rollerblade, but I like it. I don't care. Dominic with parkour and this very stage, he likes to jump off buildings, flip off buildings. On this very stage, he flipped off that stage and broke his wrist. I don't know why you take that risk. Anyways. But risk simply means faith. Right? It simply means faith. Christians should be the most risky people on the planet. We should take the most risk of anyone else on earth. Because you know what? We have this insurance policy. It's called heaven. It's called heaven. You were signed up when you were saved, remember? We have this insurance policy because death's coming. Every single one of us in here are going to die, right? And what do we get afterwards? Heaven. So why are we worried to risk? Why are we worried to take the risk and carry Jesus? You know, Dominic's message this past Wednesday was so good. He preached in Valley View, and he shared that scripture verse in Acts, one of my favorites, where it says, "Those that turn the world upside down have come here too." I'm like, God, let somebody say that about me. Let somebody say that we at Church in the North Coast turned our city upside down, right? Let's do it. His favor is for his purpose and his assignment in our life. And sometimes if we're honest, we're just afraid. Assignments show up and we're like, I can't do that. I could tell you story after story after story where I'm like, I can't do that. And if I was honest, I would say, I'm afraid to do that, right? I remember the days of PPAs, and Clarence, you just are so much more than that. You have servant's heart, and we treasure and value you. But there was a moment in the 90s where we had PPAs, and I signed up for the job because that's how you got in ministry back then, and I carried my mom's Bible to a women's conference, and it was in downtown Cleveland in a really fancy restaurant, and I was a scared 20-something-year-old girl. And I remember that she needed coffee for her room, and I was terrified to go to the front desk and ask for coffee. Isn't that crazy? I remember standing there looking at them, and they're like women that have it all together, and they're busy, and I'm like, what if they say no? What if they yell at me for asking for extra coffee? And it's real, right? Like, we really do carry that fear. But you know what? God can help us push past that fear. It doesn't matter who he's assigned you to, who he's asked you to talk to, who he's highlighted in your day. He can push you past that fear. You know, Michael Sanford, he's probably not here today because I'm sure he's visiting his mom. But he said something to me about a month ago, and it really hit me hard. He said, Mary, when are you going to speak again? And I was like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that well. I don't do that. And he said, you know what? I feel like you're holding back on us. And I was like, what? Don't challenge my love for you. You know, and I felt it deep in my heart. And then God reminded me of that because I've just been carrying it on the shelf, you know. And while I was studying, he reminded me of it. He said, Mary, you think that scripture verse in 1 John 4:18 is about you receiving God's love. But it's so much more than that. Let's look at it. It says, there's no fear in love,
but perfect love drives out fear. And in the School of Supernatural Ministry, we spend a lot of time on receiving God's love because a lot of us just simply can't do it the right way. It's hard. It's hard to understand that God loves us so much sometimes. But you know what? It goes further than that. When we can receive God's love, but also express the love that God has for each and every person around us, the same way he does, whew, you'll do anything. You will push past fear and not even notice it was there because you see in the people around us the passionate, fiery love of God for those people, and you allow it to flow through us. That's the river. That's the river of living waters. So God, help us to see other people the way you see them. Help us to carry that love, not only for ourselves, but for the people around us that we run into every day. Have you ever run into someone and you just saw they were broken? You could just see it. Holy Spirit wants to flow out of us. He wants to take this love and let it flow out of us. I have to hurry. Oh my goodness. Have you guys ever seen parents when their kids were in trouble? Have you ever seen what parents do when their kids are being threatened physically? Like, look, I know I'm not a strong woman, but you mess with my kids, and I'll go Admiral King on you real fast. You mess, even Dominic and Emily now, you talk about my kids, you mess with my kids, right? We do this because the love we have for them is stronger than any hesitation we might have, any weakness that we might have, or any fear. I don't care who you are. You will not mess with my kids. I remember being like that with my sisters too. Don't mess with my sisters, right? But that's the kind of love we have to carry for the world. That's the kind of love we have to carry for the world. Don't mess with my brothers and sisters. Because I don't care if they're not saved yet, they're going to be. Right? I don't care that they're not children of God yet, they're going to be. And they're my brothers and sisters in the future. Be obedient. Mary was obedient. Mary said, "I am your servant." She put herself as a servant and put God as her Lord and Master at whatever you say. Right? She said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." We have got to be obedient. We have got to be obedient. In 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, it's the Message Bible. Samuel was talking to Saul. Saul had just won a great battle, right? He won it for the Lord. And he came back and he was making sacrifices to God. And that's where we're going to start reading it. Samuel said, "Do you think all God wants is sacrifices, empty rituals just for show?" And if you look at that, sacrifices aren't bad. Sacrifices are good. That's how they did church back then. Samuel is saying, "Saul, do you think God just wants you to go to church? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production." You know, we've perfected church. You guys were amazing up there today. I'm like, how many people are up there? Because it sounds like this huge, beautiful, right? It's so wonderful. And I'm not knocking our church. I love our church. I'm not knocking the church. I love the Bride of Christ. But we've got to get busy obeying. Not doing what God tells you, the Great Commission, is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. That word kingship there can be authority to our influence. He lost it. What's happening in our government right now? We're losing our influence, aren't we? We see our laws changing. We see bathroom signs changing, right? Could it be that we're losing our influence because we're not obeying?
Don't we want to do more than church? There's too many programs to keep up with, right? Too many events.
Let's get into the dark places and rob hell.
Yeah? You want to?
Let's do this for God. Let's carry Jesus into a world that needs us, that desperately, desperately needs us. His last command has to become our first priority. All of us, every day. And finally, it's delivery time. In Matthew 28, 16 through 20, in the Voice version, I'm going to read this really quick and then I'll close. The 11 disciples, having spoken to the Marys, headed to Galilee, to the mountain where they were to meet Jesus. When the disciples saw Jesus was there, many of them fell down and worshipped, as Mary and the other Mary had done, but a few hung back. They were not sure, and who can blame them? But verse 18, Jesus came forward and addressed his beloved disciples. Right there, he addressed all of them. How many were there? 11. Who was missing? He was dead. Right? So unless you're dead, you have this assignment. Isn't that good? I am here speaking with all the authority of God who has commanded me to give you this commission. Go out and make disciples in all the nations. Wash them through baptism in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, we should have water baptisms every week. Every week. They should be flowing in, begging us, I need to be baptized. I need to change my life, right? Bring them. Come on, church, bring them. We can do it. Disciple them. Form them in the practices and postures that I have taught you and show them how to follow the commands that I've laid down for you. That's our job. We don't just tell them at CNC Grow, but we want you to show them. Because Pastor Cynthia can't show 100 people, right? We have to each take part and raise our kids, and that's what they are. They're our kids. And I will be with you day after day to the end of the age. You know, this is such a simple word, but we need to hear it again and again and again and again. And I hope that I don't sound like I'm repeating myself, because I think the last time I talked for a little bit, I probably used some of this. But I feel like God's heart is saying, will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? You know, orthodoxy is a term that talks about your beliefs, your doctrines, your theology, our statement of faiths. And it's so important to have those down. It's so important to know what we believe, know what we stand for, right? But there's another term called orthopraxy. And it means correct conduct. What does our behavior look like? What is the action that we're putting behind our orthodoxy? Orthopraxy. What are we practicing in the world? Let's start practicing in the world. Amen? We are on a mission, and should we choose to accept? Let's accept this morning. Let's accept this morning. Let's say, Jesus, we'll go. We'll go. It could be a neighbor outside planting flowers. You don't have to go far. Holy Spirit is the perfect person to set you up. And he'll make it so easy and evident if you really have a heart and a love for people. So let's pray. You want to? Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing with this church, what you're doing with your bride. You're saying it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. We have so many cool things happening today. We don't want to miss the sunshine. You're a good father that's stirring your children. You're waking us up because we have so many people to usher in to the kingdom. We thank you, God, that you're on our team, that you don't leave us alone, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that we've been equipped and empowered, Father, to do this work, to carry Jesus to the world. And we pray, Father, that you would begin to highlight people. Begin to highlight people, those you want us to pour your love on. God, genuine love, not a project, God, but just let us love them genuinely, showing them value, showing them importance, giving them time. God, I thank you for what you're doing in us. I thank you that you're so faithful to us. You don't leave us sleeping, so we miss out. But you want us to be a part of this end time harvest. So we just thank you for it, God. If you're in here today and you might just need to get your life right with God. Maybe you're saved, but you know you just have been kind of lukewarm, not really spending time with him, don't really have a grasp on where you're at with God. Man, don't leave yet. Don't leave today. There's so many altar ministers that would pray with you and just give you that, right? Just give you that encouragement that says you can do this. God loves you. So everybody stand up. And if you're here today and maybe you need to accept Jesus in your life, maybe you need to say, you know what, sign me up. I want to join this team. I want to join this army of lovers. You know, as soon as we get signed up and we get put into action, there's like this fulfillment that happens in our life, and we realize it's the most fun thing on earth. So if that's you today, altar ministers, would you come first? I'd love to just invite you to come and pray with someone. I'd love for you to just come and pray with someone and allow them to just pray with you and invite you into the kingdom of God this morning. And maybe you just want to come and get prayer for family needs or things like that. But thank you for allowing me to just minister today. And again, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. Love you all very, very dearly.
Can we just give it up one more time? I'm sorry. She just did such an incredible job. I'm proud of her. I'm glad that I get to call her mother. It's a good thing. So before you leave, you know, and you're invited to come pray. We have a lot of awesome people up here that want to pray with you. But like everyone else has been saying, happy Mother's Day. We love you all so much. Don't forget to check out our info wall at the back of the sanctuary before you leave. If this is your first time here, please join us in the back left corner of the sanctuary. Pastor Cynthia is back there, and she would love to shake your hand and get to know you a little bit better. So live right, love everyone, and pray hard, and give your mother a big hug today. Love you all. Have a great Sunday.